All right, praise God. You guys doing good? How many of you guys had a really good Valentine's Day yesterday? I'm a little bit hot. Turn the mic down. Steve, cool. I'm really I would say, man, we're so blessed. We really are, right? I drove in this morning, beautiful sunshine. God is doing some awesome things. And I'm glad that you guys are all here. So if some of you guys don't know me, my name is Michael Rodriguez. I'm the lead pastor here. Just humbled to be able to lead the church in this capacity and serve in what God has called us to do. So Valentine's Day, right? I don't know about you guys. Remember when you were a kid, you used to have to go out and get like Valentine's Day? You had to go to like Kmart. I'm not old, right? People were like Kmart. And some of you guys call it Kmart. There's no K at the end of it. Kmart. And you used to try to find the right Valentine. And then you make sure that you pick the right one to the girl that you thought or the guy that you thought was cute. You remember that? Like, I'm going to get this one. I'm going to put a big old heart on it. Remember that? Yeah. I don't know. Do kids still do Valentine's Day cards? Is that a thing? Okay, that's cool. Baskets now. That's a new thing. All right, awesome. I remember when I first started dating Steph, I would make it a big deal. Like, I would go, I was one of those guys at the buying all kinds of balloons and teddy bears and stuff. I would walk into school like I was at Disneyland selling balloons, you know, because I wanted to show her how much I loved her, you know. What did I know about anything? I did like her, right? But you know, isn't it funny how are you when you first start a relationship, you think you have a certain kind of like, or you feel a certain way, right? That feeling that you can't. Is that just me? Some of you, the rest of you guys are dead inside. No. I'm kidding, okay. But you know what I'm talking about, the excitement that you love. But even that is an imperfect kind of love, isn't it? Because we learn to love from how we've seen love given or how we received it. Does that make sense to you guys? And so, yeah, as much as I thought that I was showing her my affection for her balloons and I even made her a basket one year, remember that? I actually made it. I put all kinds of, I got the glue gun and I put all kinds of things on it and I don't know where it's at. She probably threw it away. Probably somewhere. But I put a lot of time and affection to it. Turns out that wasn't her love language. You know, gifts are not her jam. So I actually didn't have to go to the Walmart here and buy a big teddy bear. Her love language is time. Right? And so God has made us each differently. But at the end of the day, listen, I don't care who you are. We're made for God. Right? We have a huge, I don't know if you guys know this, but man, we have a hole in our heart that only Jesus Christ can fill, that only God can fill. And until we find him, we are restless. And we'll seek to try to fill it with all kinds of different things, whether it's a 3-foot teddy bear or balloons or success or relationships or whatever you think it is. We are restless until our hearts find Jesus Christ. Amen. And today we're going to be spending some time learning about the love of God, right? You guys already know this, the whole theme. In fact, we have this big 6-foot heart on stage, right? That says, oh, how he loves us. In fact, we sang that song, and underneath is the scripture, John 3:16. We're going to be spending some time there. Because at the end of the day, I don't know if you know this, when you come to a service like this and you're like, man, God loves you, God loves you, God loves you, and then you leave, or in the stillness of the night, there's some times where, I don't know about you, but you may not feel like God loves you. Anybody? Does that resonate with anybody? That's a reality, you know what I mean? That in the stillness and the quiet, sometimes as you're going through life, man, you feel like, man, God, I see and I hear about your love, but I'm not feeling it right now. And so, well, we're going to dive in deep a little bit because, it's funny how the Holy Spirit works. Stephen touched on it. But we got to know one thing. That God is as near or as far away from us as we want him to be. Right? And so in those moments when we're going through that, we're going to go in and in practice, how do we fight that thing? How do we, when you're going into the middle, you know, you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, right? Which is interesting, and that's another message for another time, but that Jesus Christ has already overcome. We have to trust him. We have to trust him in the storm and know that he loves us, right? So yesterday, again, was Valentine's Day. And it was a day of teddy bears and dinners and chocolates. Who got chocolates in here? Yeah. You guys got some chocolate? You need to hook me up. We didn't get any chocolate at our house. You know, anybody else? What else? Did anybody get any teddy bears or balloons over there? Somebody did? But after, right, usually it's one day. We celebrate love. Woohoo! And then after, it's what? Picking up socks, taking out the trash, paying the bill. You pick up the kids. Right? It's your turn to change the diaper. Right? And so what happens afterwards? Is it just a feeling on that one day? Or is it something that's sustained? And a lot of people in this room, if we're honest, it's the day we celebrate love. But the reality of it is sometimes we also experience a different kind of thing. When we say we experience when love has gone wrong. Right? We've experienced the pain and the hurt and the heartbreak. And so when you come to a service like this and you're like, God loves you, and you're going through the middle of that, it's like, man, God loves me, but man, I don't know why I'm hurting the way that I'm hurting. I don't know why I'm going through this pain or through this battle or through this storm. And so we're going to differentiate a little bit about the way that the world loves and the way that God loves. Because oftentimes when we are in the situation where love has gone wrong, we find out that we are putting our trust and our faith in another person. And oftentimes that person will do things with our trust, our love, and let us down. But the good news is we have a good and perfect God who has perfect love for you. And that's what we're going to dive in today. So let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. And we're going to read the first 21 verses there. Because, you know, sometimes you can grab a verse, but I like the context of the verse. You know, it's like, I could give you a burrito bite or I can give you the full burrito. Which do you prefer? The full burrito, right? Me too. That's why this body is this way, guys. I'm not just give me a bite of this. Give me the whole burrito. And when we get into the scripture, we want the whole thing too, okay? So John chapter 3, verse 1. It says, now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. For no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him. Now Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. And how can someone be born again when they are old? Nicodemus asked. Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born. And Jesus answered, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and of the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound. You cannot tell where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. How can this be? Nicodemus asked. You are Israel's teacher, said Jesus. You do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still you people don't accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How will then you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. So God loved, here's 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. It has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. And everyone who hates evil hates the light and will not come into the light, for the fear of their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have has been done in the sight of God. Amen? Big passage of scripture, right? You're like, whoa. I don't know about you guys, but we got to slow it down, right? Let's break down pieces of chunk. What's the context of what's happening? Jesus is now in his ministry, if you guys know. If you read John chapter 3, it's a good idea to have already read John chapter 1 and John chapter 2. I don't know if you know that. What happens in John chapter 1, right? He's called, you guys see that he's baptized. John chapter 2, who comes in and he turns the tables. You guys remember that? And so now he's preaching. He's in full swing already. And at night, this is interesting. Nicodemus is a religious leader. And does he come to him during the day? No, he comes at night, right? And then he says, Rabbi, we know that you've come from God, right? Because you're doing all these miraculous things. And then Jesus just flips the entire script on him, right? He starts talking about how he needs to be born again. Not of the flesh, but of the spirit. Then he goes on to tell him about John 3:16, about the love of God. And then he flips all of that. And he says, how do you receive the love of God if you're not putting your faith, right? You have to first believe. And so what's interesting about John 3:16 is the context. Oftentimes we don't talk about the context. The context is that you have to experience God's love, but you can't experience God's love if you haven't submitted to his will. Oftentimes we're saying, "What? I'm not feeling God's love." And here's the thing is that we learned this last week, right? I think it was that God invites us to be children of God, but we have to know him. And see, sometimes we want to have the blessings, we want to have the love of God without what? Without first committing ourselves to him. See, it's the equivalent of if I go out to somebody's house, let's just say, maybe, I don't know, there's some big houses around here, and I just knock on the door and I just say, I'm here, right? The first thing is, and I just start to make myself at home, what are they going to do? They're going to kick me out. They say, I don't even know you, right? Get out of here. Call the cops on me, pepper spray me, unleash the dogs. And so we expect that, like, we want God's love. We want to have the benefits of God without what? Without knowing him. It doesn't work here in humanity. It's not going to work with your Heavenly Father. Does that make sense? That yes, God is love, but you have to know him first. Does that make sense? You know, I mean, it takes commitment. It takes relationship. That God is a God of relationship. And so the first point for today's message in the film, the blank in your handout, is number one, that God's love is freely given. It's not earned. God's love is freely given. It's not earned. See, a lot of us, when we think that, you know, when we talk about relationships earlier, I thought that I had to earn Stephanie's love and affection. I had to buy her gifts, teddy bears. I had to write her all kinds of letters with hearts on them. I love you so much. I can't stop thinking about you. Some of the guys are embarrassed because you write letters like that too. All right? We still have those. I hear a baby crying. Oh, yeah. Is it? Who has her? Adriana? Oh, man. She's pinching her. I saw her. You better get her, sister. No, she didn't. Sorry. But we see that in John 3:16, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. In fact, in Romans 5:8, it also tells us, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And so you don't have to earn God's love. Right? Say that with me. Say, I don't have to earn God's love. Say it. 1, 2, 3. I don't have to earn God's love. Man, isn't that freeing? I mean, you don't have to buy. You don't have to do anything. That God is already pleased. Right? God loves you already. Now, he loves you so much that he's not going to leave you the way you are, though. That's the other thing. All right, we can come to him broken, flaws and all. While we are still sinners, Christ died. And so it's not in our own righteousness that we are saved. We're saved by what? Faith in Jesus Christ alone. And so what do we have, right? What do we learn from this? That God loved us first, right? That he didn't wait for us to love him. See, oftentimes in relationships, in human relationships, don't we play the score game? If she or he do this, don't we kind of score in our relationships? But God doesn't do that. God reacted. He moved first. And in fact, his love for us is not a response to our goodness. It's part of his characteristic that God is a God of love. And so God loves comes before even your performance, right? Even before you think you have to earn it. Some of us in here are people pleasers. Yeah? We are. When we do something, we want to be recognized. Because it feels good to be affirmed, right? Especially by people that love you or people that you respect. Doesn't it feel good? Right? Let me give you guys a little secret. God already approves of you. Right? God already approves of you. And he wants to know you through a relationship. But we have to give our lives to Jesus Christ again, because Jesus just gave us the whole blueprint. He says, what? You have to be born again. You have to be born again by putting your faith in Jesus Christ. And then you can access that God that loves you so much, because he's not far away. He's a confession away. He's a repentance away. We have to surrender to him. And Nicodemus comes to him, what? Confused. Why? Because Nicodemus is a religious man. And when it's all about religion, what is it? When you've lived a life of religion and rules, what is it about? It's about the law and the things you have to do and you have to earn. And when Jesus is telling him you have to be born again of the Spirit, it flips everything upside down. Because you don't have to earn it. And that is crazy. I don't know if you know that. Every other religion in the world is a works-based religion. Every other one. You take me out to lunch, we'll sit down and I'll review all of them with you, okay? You text me, 559-859-1098. You pay, I'll pray. And we'll talk all comparative religion if you want. Does that make sense? That makes sense? Yeah. But every other religion is a works-based religion. And Jesus says, it's not about your works. Nothing that you could ever do can get you into heaven. Only your faith in Jesus Christ. And that's why you have to be born again. And then he continues on to say, because God loves you. God loves you as you are. See, it's interesting. In the human dynamics, the person who is in position of authority and power in the relationship usually goes second. I don't know if you know that. That makes sense? Means like if you've offended your wife or if you offended your husband, the other person is in a position now of power. Why? Because you made a mistake. And so they can hold it over your head. Has that ever happened to anybody? And so what has to happen? That usually the other person is waiting, right? They're usually like, I'm just going to wait until he says he's sorry. I'm going to wait. And the guys, you act the same way. I'm going to wait until she apologizes, right? Because she offended me. Sound familiar? Oh, yeah. Whenever you're upset, the neck does that thing too. You know, it's just natural. That sound familiar? That person that has the position of authority and power now, because they might say, well, I forgive you. Or, I could never forgive you. You know what I'm saying? That's another kind of drama. But that's not what God does. Do you see that? That's human relationships. That God is a God of the universe, that he speaks. He's a God that creates and speaks universes in existence. He is in the ultimate position of authority and power. Yes? Then what did he do? Did he say, I'm going to wait for all these sinners to repent? I'm going to wait until they get their act together. He didn't do that. What did he do? He went first. He went first. Now, I've said this to the guys. I've said this in a men's meeting. I said, listen, men in the room. And you're going to be like, oh, I'm going to close my ears because I don't want to hear this, right? God has appointed you as the spiritual leader of your home. I'm just saying, it's in the Bible. God has appointed you as a spiritual leader of the home. He is assuming that you're connected under the lordship of Jesus Christ, that you are submitted to him. And now he says, you're the spiritual leader, so you have spiritual authority. If God goes first, then brothers and sisters, brothers in the room, when that happens and there's conflict in your home, you have to go first. You have to go first. Not just the silent treatment, we're not going to talk for 2 or 3 days. There's no peace in that. I don't know if you guys know that. There's no peace in that. There's no harmony in that. Nobody wins. Amen? How many of you have been, I'm just going to be silent. I'm not going to talk to her. She's not going to talk to me. Nobody wins in that scenario. Men in the room, hear me well. God has given you the responsibility and the authority to be the spiritual leader of their home. Just the way that God has the spiritual authority and power, he says, you know what? You go first. I don't like that. Humble myself? But she was the one that did me wrong. She got me mad. Like, what if God takes the same posture with you? What would happen? Nothing you could do, right, is worthy of bringing your petition to before God. But God loved you first anyway. He shows you how to love. So men, I wasn't planning on saying that. But the Holy Spirit wanted me to say that, to be quite honest with you. Because a lot of times, listen, in our homes we should have peace, yes? Our homes should be full of peace. That doesn't mean that we're absent of conflict. That means that when the conflict comes, right, we're like firemen or like trained police, first responders. We shouldn't run away from the conflict. We need to be the ones running to it. What? That means that we have to be what? Filled with Jesus Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit. Make sense? To then be able to humble ourselves to say, listen, I'm sorry. Let's figure this thing out. Let's pray about it. It's not about you. Your flesh wants what? Flesh wants to. Eye for an eye. Right? It's all, let's go back to Exodus, right? Eye for an eye. But no, Jesus says, I came to give you a new commandment, right? And he tells us in Ephesians chapter 5 about how we're supposed to love, and that's sacrificially. All right, let's get back in the car. Some of the guys are like, man, we never should have stopped, Pastor. Keep driving. Pull over again, that's right. But listen, God didn't wait for us to clean ourselves up. He stepped into our mess. If some of us, if we're real honest, man, we didn't come to Jesus Christ because we're like, oh, everything was perfect for me. No, we came to Jesus Christ in the middle of a storm, in our lowest point. When we were sick and tired of being sick and tired, we said, you know what, man, I can't do this anymore. Jesus, you take over, right? And so he's not waiting for you to get all cleaned up. If you're in the middle of the mess, man, this is where you need to let Jesus in. It's not performance-based. You're already loved, right? And you need to stop earning what God has already given freely. The second thing we see in today's reading is that true love isn't forced. It requires a choice. True love is not forced. It requires a choice. And we see that. After we see John 3:16, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Then he says, for God didn't send his son in the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Now here's the decision point. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only son. Right? There's a decision there. He says, if you believe, then John 3:16 is for you. Make sense? But if you haven't believed, then you stand condemned already. See, love can be forced. Love can be forced. It has to be given freely. And God offers that, right? Not as a forced kind of love. He invites you to it. He doesn't impose it upon you. See, what would happen if you tried to impose your love upon somebody else, right? That's called, you become a stalker, right? I'm so in love with her, like I can't get enough of her or him. They're like, stalker? Like, that person doesn't love you. Calling the cops on you, they got a restraining order against you. It makes sense? Love can only be given what? Freely, right? Freely. So if you're doing that, come talk to me afterwards. I want you to get in trouble. But he invites, right? God offers love. He doesn't force love upon us. Listen, if God made us love him, then we wouldn't be. That's a forced love. God didn't make you a robot. He gave you free will. Yes or no? Yeah, he did. And it's a choice. Because at the end of the day, right, if you were forcing somebody to love you, is that a real relationship? No, it's not. That's not true love. That person would hate you. Because God values a real relationship. Because he's not a God just of... The God gives the blueprint. He gives us instructions for sanctification and how we're called to be holy and set apart. Yes. But before that, it's about relationship. And that's what we're finding out in John 3:16. How many of you guys have, you know, when you did your marriage vows, you attended a wedding, usually right before the ceremony starts, the preacher or the priest says something. What does he do? He asks them, have you come here willingly? You guys remember that? Some of you guys are like, no, they twisted my arm. I didn't want to go past, you know. I don't remember that at all. How did I get here? Right? You guys remember? But they usually ask you. They said, have you come here willingly or have you been pressured and manipulated? You guys, something like that. You guys remember that? And then they'll usually say, yes, I'm here willingly. And yes, I'm here willingly, right? I'm not pressured. I'm not marrying somebody for a green card and like that. You guys... But why? Because love has to be free, right? We just talked about that. It doesn't force your heart. Listen to me. God doesn't force your heart. He calls to your heart. Listen, when the Holy Spirit knocks, that's how you know it. Sometimes you're like, how would I know? And you're going to know it in your heart. Trust me. I remember when I gave my life to Jesus Christ, I was reluctant. I went to church like 7 times, 8 times. They kept answering the call. And from the first time that I heard the gospel preached and invited, something inside of me was saying, I'm talking to you. And that was the Holy Spirit working. And that's the thing that kept me coming back. Sometimes even having to drive home from San Jose because I wanted to hear the message. Because the Holy Spirit was calling me. Right? And finally, on the 7th time, I said yes. I'm like, that's kind of funny. If you ever kind of get into the statistics of it, most people give their life to Jesus Christ on the 7th time. I'm the statistic. That's a true story. But God doesn't force your heart. He calls your heart. And so here, like we just said, right? Listen, a lot of times people are walking around, they want the benefit of choosing God, the benefits of God without choosing God. But God makes it clear, right, that love is offered, but belief is required. You have to believe in Jesus Christ, put your faith in him. And so the question that we all have to ask is, have we really chosen Jesus Christ? Have we really chosen him? Through thick and thin, have we made a commitment to him? Not just the one that you think about where it's like, yeah, maybe I'll go. No, have you really committed to him? Because listen, when we talk about what God did on what Jesus did on the cross for us, that wasn't a lukewarm commitment. That wasn't like, maybe I'll show up. It means that God gave it all for you. And he's inviting you into that type of relationship. And so today, or later on, whenever it is, right, you have to make a decision about Jesus Christ. Either Jesus is who he said he is, or we're all fools. Paul says that. But I'm here to tell you my own testimony, the testimony of brothers and sisters sharing what the Holy Spirit is doing and has done, that Jesus is real, that you are loved by God. But we have to give our lives to him. We have to make a choice about Jesus Christ. Let's read John. Let's fast forward a little bit. Sorry, I don't think I put this on there, but we're going to turn to 1 John. 1 John 4. And you guys are all familiar with this because probably everything on your news feed or Instagram feed or whatever you were into. If you're old like me, Facebook. The young guys are on Facebook. That's for old people. Yeah, that's true. Okay, 1 John 4:9 through 10 says, this is how God showed his love among us. He has sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. And this is not that we have loved, but that God sent us and sent his Son as atoning sacrifice for our sins. 1 John 4:9-10. And the key point from that passage of scripture is that worldly love often takes, but God's love gives life. Worldly love often takes, God's love gives life, right? See, some of us in here, or some of you in here, you've experienced that, right? You experienced the pain, the heartache, the disappointment of having a worldly love that drains, that manipulates, that controls, that takes your identity, and it demands you to compromise. Maybe you don't have to raise your hand, but I know it. Whenever you're preaching to a crowd of like two or three people, this is applicable. But God's love, what? Gives life. John 10:10, the second half of it says, I have come that they may have life, right? And have it abundantly, right? It's not that he wants something. When we sang that song, How He Loves You, that first verse says, he is jealous for me. Not jealous of me, right? He is jealous for me. It's the same way for parents in the room. When we say you're jealous for your kids, does that make sense? You want things for them. You want to see them have a blessed life. You're not jealous of them, right? You're jealous for them. You want them to be blessed. God loves us the same way. And God came to give life and restore our identity. And here's the other thing. God came to give us peace. God came to give us peace through his son, Jesus Christ. And he removes our condemnation. He takes our sin debt. And he sets us free, right? Now, many people in this room, you've experienced the toxic love, right? The toxic love that's with conditions. If you love me, you will do this. Sometimes it's a physical thing. Sometimes it's a sexual thing. If you love me, you'll do these things, right? That's manipulation. Make sense? Or it's a controlling type of love. And it's a psychological abuse too. All right, I'm not going to dive that. There's a time and a place for that. I'm going to touch on that very superficially. The love that tells you that without me, right, you're nothing, right? You'll never do better than me. That kind of stuff. That's a toxic kind of, that's a manipulating, controlling type of love. Or the other side of it is that if you love me, you'll change. If you really love me, you'll, does that make sense? And the other person, and you're competing for that kind of change, and you think that that is what's going to fully, and the person will try oftentimes, only to find out what? That person is still taking and taking and taking what? Because they're not usually filled with God. We're trying to fill the void that we have in our hearts with the other person, and it doesn't work that way. When it does work is when God is in the middle of both. Make sense? And we're in the covering of Jesus Christ. Right? But it means that we have to accept the love that God has given us. Jeremiah 31:3 says, the Lord has appeared to us in the past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and I have drawn you with an unfailing kindness. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for God's kindness. I'm thankful for his patience. I'm thankful for his love. There was once upon my time, a season of my life. First, you know, I grew up in church, growing in church, because we were forced to do it. My brother's the biggest travieso. I don't know if you guys know that. Man, he would get me in all kinds of trouble at church, everywhere. I always say, like, if you had character, like those little, remember when you were a kid in the cartoons, they had the little red devil on the, my brother was not the white one, okay, I'm just going to say. Always trying to get us in trouble. And I was the other one, like, bro, you're going to get us in trouble. Don't do that. You're going to get us in trouble. You're going to get hurt. Yes or no? Who knows it? Let's do it anyway. So we get pinched, hair pulls, all that stuff in church. Because my brother's just distracted, like, honestly. And so we were forced to go to church because it was a religious thing to do. I didn't have a relationship with God. I learned about him. I was afraid of him in that context. Because the context that I learned it was that God was a God that was, that he was going to squash me, that I was a sinner, right? Dios te va a castigar. Anybody grew up in a church like that? Yeah, right? And so I was afraid of that God. There was no relationship. I just knew that God was a God that I was supposed to be afraid of. And then when I finally heard the gospel explained to me clearly, and I got into the Word, and I started learning about God's goodness and about that God is a God of relationship and that God invites me to know him, it changed everything, right? And then when I read a verse like Jeremiah 31:3, when it says, He appeared to me in the past saying, I've loved you with an everlasting love. I've drawn you with an unfailing kindness. I'll say, thank you, God, for your patience. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you that you didn't get tired, right, of waiting, sinner like me, first 25 years of my life, until He finally got a hold of me and started to do some amazing, not even 25. I was a kid. Actually, I got saved when I was 30. So back then, I still had hair, surprisingly. But God loved me, right? God loved me full of hair or pelon. It's all good. Jesus loves me. Amen? The thing is that, listen, we sometimes approach relationships and love like, you know, it's like, you guys, how many of you guys put your money in the bank? And wouldn't it be terrible if you went to the ATM machine and somebody was like just like robbing you, always taking money out like you didn't know it? Has that ever happened? You better talk to the other person who has your ATM card, sister. But listen, sometimes relationships are that way. You know what I mean? You give, right? And you put deposits. But sometimes if that person isn't, I would say, filled with God's love, they're just always withdrawing. You know what I mean? It's like withdrawing and withdrawing. And pretty soon you're on empty. Right? And so what we're learning about today is that, listen, God is a God that here's the other thing. You can't outgive God, right? God is love. That's His character. That's who He is. And so sometimes we're exhausted because we're trying to get our validation for people. But man, God is the God that sustains. He gives to us. Does that make sense? Here's the deal, right? If you're still kind of waiting, if you're in that relationship, you know, I touched on it superficially. I don't mean to move so quickly, but there's people in here, right? You might be going through a recent breakup. You might still be heartbroken from a previous relationship. God is inviting you into relationship with Him. And the type of love that God loves isn't like a rebound kind of love. It was like, oh, you're rebound. You ever know people like that? They run from one relationship to another relationship. And it's like, man, this is what I think, not what you guys think. This is a good time for you to get right? To build your foundation in who God is. Not to rush into the next relationship. Because oftentimes we think that rushing to the next relationship is going to fix that thing. And it doesn't happen. In fact, what we usually do is we bring those traumas and those heartaches into that other relationship. And we start to project them onto the new person. Does that make sense? That it's an opportunity that God says, listen, you need me first. Right? Oftentimes we think that a relationship with God is like building a house, right? A remodel, a Hispanic one. We need to expand to it. I'm going to add a master bedroom to the house. You just put a wall. You got rid of the garage door. You put a wall there, okay? That's the kind of expansion that we do, yes or no? Right? But God is saying, listen, this is a time for us to do a full remodel from the ground up. Before we start adding anything on, your foundation has to be solid in who God made you to be. Does that make sense? And oftentimes we see it. Listen, brothers and sisters, we're not exempt from this. I see it time and time again that we are bringing things into relationships that don't need to be there. They need to be in the past. That God has forgiven, and He gives us the opportunity to forgive and to move on. But we like to collect debts for Jesus. Does that make sense? We want people to pay for our pain. Does that make sense? Sometimes you don't even realize that you're collecting, you might be in a new relationship, a new thing, and you're collecting on an old debt. A harm or a pain that somebody else did to that you're dragging into the new. Does that make sense? Jesus Christ came to say, listen, enough is enough. Forgiveness is for you. I can make you whole. But it means that we have to really surrender our lives to Jesus Christ. God is not a rebound type of relationship, right? Loving God is a restoration from the ground up. Let's skip down on 1 John. It says, 1 John 4:17 through 18, it says, this is how love is made complete among us. So we'll have confidence on the day of judgment in this world where Jesus. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. But the one who fears is not made perfect in love. Amen? See, God's love casts out fear. God's love heals. God's love makes us whole. So that's the fourth point in today's message. God's love can heal, it completes, and it casts out fear. God's love heals, completes, and it casts out fear. Because here's the reality of it. The world, the broken world that we live in, it creates, right, fear. Past hurt and traumas that we have in our lives create in us a fear of abandonment. It causes us to be guarded, not to be vulnerable. Because we're afraid of being hurt again. It creates in us some deep insecurities as human beings, right? We have to be reminded that God came to make us whole, right? And we have to let go of all that stuff and let God be God. But God's perfect love, like we learned just now, right? He brings peace, brings comfort, makes us whole. It brings us to completion. I like the kind of completion. Have you guys watched the movie Jerry Maguire? You guys like that movie? Right, that scene where Tom Cruise says, yeah, I'm looking for my wife. Right? This is, and he says, you complete me. Right? That's romantic and all. But that's somewhat true, right? After you've given your whole heart to Jesus Christ, then he says, listen, I have some work for you to do. I'm a big proponent. You guys know this. I'm a big proponent of marriage and of families. I'll always, it's God, not because it's like me. That's what God instituted. Amen? And so I'm a big proponent of what God brought a man and a woman together to do. It's His plan. We're going to keep, that's old school, but because it works, because God said it works. That makes sense? Because God wanted to bring us together, right, to form the more perfect fullness of who Jesus Christ is. I think I need to preach a marriage one next time. But whenever I talk about these things as well, there's a lot of pressure in the culture, in families, to find the right person. There's a lot of pressure to date. There's a lot of pressure to get married right away. I'm just going to say, pump the brakes a little bit. This is an opportunity for you to discover and to find out who God made you to be first. That when you're in the fullness of your walk and your relationship with God, then you have the spiritual capacity and the emotional capacity to build something amazing with another person who has Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. Make sense? But oftentimes the world's like, you're not dating? Oh, okay, this and that. When are you going to get married? Does that sound familiar? I mean, it's a cultural thing, yeah? But it's an opportunity for us to get full and build that relationship with Christ. Build our foundation on who God says that we are. That He's our foundation. If you're in the season right now of you're single, listen to me and listen to me well. You're not incomplete, right? You can be full in a relationship with Jesus Christ, right? It's not that you have to be always looking the other person when God's timing is right and the God appointment is there, it's going to come. But oftentimes we want to rush to that thing, and then I'm just being honest with you, it's not something that it doesn't turn out well. Let me just say honest. I'm just going to be honest with you. So you're not incomplete without a spouse, right? But it is a season of opportunity to dig into your relationship with God. And to build that solid foundation. And then you can build a life that is strong upon that, right? That if God is our anchor, God is our foundation, then we get ready to withstand the storms. Because believe me, they're going to come. They will come. When our foundation is built on who God is, when we've made the decision to follow Jesus Christ, right? Then you see the real blessings come. But we make this mistake sometimes of seeking the blessing and forgetting we have an opportunity to have a relationship with God. So, the question is, God loves you. Are you going to make a decision for Him or not? It's as simple as that. And a committed relationship with Jesus Christ is what brings us peace and hope and joy and gets us through the storms of life and then gives us ultimately everlasting life, like we learned in John 3:16. The love of the world, right, oftentimes leaves us rejected, betrayed, lonely, ashamed. But the love of Jesus Christ, right, is initiated by Him. It's free. It brings life. And it heals. And so that's what God invites us today. We can make a decision for Him, or we're making a decision one way or the other. We get to choose. God is not going to force his love upon you. You have to choose Jesus Christ. But there's no greater decision, I'll be quite honest with you, just to say yes to Jesus. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, thank you, Lord God, for this morning. Thank you for the power of your word. Thank you for what we're learning, Lord God, and what we've learned today is that you are a God of love. It's your characteristic. It's who you are. But you're also a God of justice. And you don't force us, Lord God, that you tell us plainly that we can choose you and be born again, or we can choose to not believe and stand condemned already, as your word tells us. So, Father God, I just pray right now, Lord God, that you continue to work, Lord God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you continue to knock on the hearts, Lord God. If we don't know you, we need to say yes. Or we just keep giving it time. By the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord God, it is my prayer that every person here says yes to you, Lord God. Because your word is true as well, Lord. There is an alternate. It's living a life of heartbreak, disillusionment, Lord, chasing after vapors, as your word tells us. And so this morning, Lord God, I just pray that we would surrender and submit to our lives to you, Lord God. You're a God of relationship. You're a God that invites us, Lord God, but you're not going to force it. Your love must be received. And so, Lord God, it's my prayer, Lord God, this morning, that we fully commit our lives to you. That we submit all parts of our lives, Lord God, all of our relationships to you. And Lord God, I know, again, the world loves a certain kind of way, Lord, and it leaves us sometimes hurt, heartbroken, lonely, even ashamed. You don't love that way, Lord. Your love is perfect. Your love is kind. Your love is comforting. Your love makes us whole. So I just pray today, Lord God, that you continue to move by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord God. Help us to surrender to you. Commit, Lord God, to put our faith in you, to believe that you are who you said that you are. You are the Son of God. That you came, Lord God, and died an awful death on the cross, Lord, for the forgiveness of our sins. And that we might have way back to the Father through faith in you, Lord Jesus. Holy Spirit, continue to work in our lives, Lord God. Continue to draw us near to you. Give us, Lord God, clarity, Lord God, in our lives. Speak to us, Lord God. Help us to love the way you love, Lord God. Help us to see people the way that you see, Lord God. The world that we live in is broken and flawed, Lord. But you invite us to be your hands and your feet. So we're talking about our relationships close to home, Lord, and our family, Lord God. Help us to reflect your goodness, your kindness, Lord God, that you would get the glory. Lord God, help us also to love the world the way that you've loved it, Lord God. Not through our own eyes, Lord God, our own opinions, but the way that you love, Lord God, sacrificially, humbly. Lord, how will we be you, Lord God, if we're not, they're not experiencing your love through us, Lord God. So, Lord God, I just pray that you continue to move in this church, Lord. That every person that's here, that you called them, Lord, into a mission, you called them, Lord God, to share the goodness of who you are. And, Lord God, you are in us to build up your kingdom. And it's all for your honor and for your glory, Lord. Just thank you. Father God, meet us where we are. Continue to work in our lives, Lord God. Even when we're walking with you, we're not exempt from heartache, Lord God. We're not exempt from pain. We're not exempt from trials. But you are faithful. You are good. We're going to see the victory, and you'll get all the glory, Lord God. But Lord God, there's people here that, anybody here that is hurting, is feeling those, that pain and that loss, Lord, let's say yes to you. And when you meet them, Lord God, at their need, bring comfort, bring joy, bring peace, bring a deeper relationship with you, Lord God, and with the fellowship of believers, Lord God. Our joy is in you, Lord God. You strengthen us. You lift us up. Thank you again for your kindness and your goodness, Lord God. Thank you for your love for every single person that is here. Help us to also go out, Lord God, and love the way you loved us. Thank you again for this time and for this day. Keep us all safe, Lord God. Bless us, Lord. Help us to get plugged in and connect, Lord God, to your body. Be intentional, Lord, to be in your word. Lord, encourage us, Lord God, to be strengthened every day of our lives, Lord God, through prayer and meditation and devotion to you, Lord. Thank you again for the privilege it is to know you, Lord God, and to be known by you. We love you. In Jesus Christ's name.